1230 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A big change at the Supreme Court, where justices have adopted a new code of ethics. CBS's Meg Oliver.
In a joint statement, the justices write, the absence of a code has previously led to the misunderstanding they, quote, regard themselves as unrestricted by any ethics rules. They say this code should dispel this misunderstanding.
President Biden is urging Israel to protect a hospital in Gaza as fighting there continues. James Densilos with Save the Children and says conditions are catastrophic.
Disease and public health issues are rampant, let alone the fact that people are hungry, people are drinking dirty water, there's reports of people having to drink from toilets.
And transportation officials say they are working quickly to assess the damage and get repairs going on a scorched portion of I-10 in L.A. Caltrans Director Tony Tavares.
The urgency is now. We will get this taken care of.
There's still no telling, though, when the freeway could reopen. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 96 people in Wisconsin died from domestic violence last year. That's the highest number in 22 years. Those numbers are from the group End Domestic Violence Wisconsin. Some social workers tell the State Journal they're worried the situation will get worse with looming cuts to federal victim resource funding. Efforts to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee could be in trouble. The state Senate votes tomorrow on an amended bill to pay for maintenance at American Family Field. But as of this morning, not enough senators support it to pass it. The bill's author is Republican Dan Fine.
We're still in session until February, March, so this is not over for this session. We're hopeful to get to some kind of an agreement before we adjourn for the year.
Fine on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. About 200 apartments will soon be available about a breakaway away from the Fiserv Forum. The Milwaukee Bucks and Jay Jeffers and Company have announced plans to transform a vacant lot northwest of the venue into a five-story mixed-use development. The mayor was part of an event this morning that talked about residential and commercial spaces with 210 apartments and a rooftop terrace view of the Fiserv Forum. An area bike trail is making it easier to ride safe. The Beer Line Trail in Milwaukee has recently been adorned with new signs from the DOT aimed at promoting bike safety. Each of the 9 signs along the trail features a QR code that can be scanned to access instructional videos and information about various bike safety lessons. Officials say the hope is to initiate conversations about the importance of bike safety. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers lose on the last play of the game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost to the Steelers 23-19 in Pittsburgh. The game was back and forth and came down to the final 3 seconds. Green Bay on the Pittsburgh 16, and instead of a touchdown, the ball intercepted by the Steelers. Jordan Love.
Last play of the game. Trying to take a shot to the end zone, dialed up a play that we, you know, work all the time in practice, pretty much just trying to get a shot right there in the front in line to Christian. The DB was able to jump in front of the route and make a pick.
The Packers now 3-6. They host the Chargers on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks are back at home tonight. They host the Chicago Bulls. Milwaukee losing to the Magic in Orlando 112-97. That snapped a 14-game winning streak the Bucks had over the Magic. Milwaukee now 5-4 for the year. College football, offense, defense, special teams, nothing seems to be working for the Wisconsin Badgers after losing at home 24-10 to Northwestern. Luke Fickle.
There's not a single complimentary thing right now that we're doing I don't think we've done in the last couple weeks.
With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the
Here's
Civic Media app.
Forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 30 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 58. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 41. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media, the second hour, Matt Flynn Direct. Well, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, this time in Ohio. And in North Carolina, we've already talked about Ohio, but in North Carolina, it's coming in on stampeding buffalo feet. Here are the facts. Very sad thing. North Carolina has a budget, proposed budget that's 600 pages long. In fact, it's a little more than 600 pages long. This is a gerrymandered Republican legislature that will pass it. And they'll also be able to override any veto. Buried in this budget is a provision that creates, in effect, a secret police force. And here's what it provides. It gives the Government Operations Committee, as it's called, the right to seize any document or, quote, system of record from anyone who works in or with state and local government. And remember, this is a gerrymandered Republican legislature, and that committee, the Government Ops Committee, is a committee that launches investigations. B, that includes contractors or any entity that directly or indirectly receives state funds, including charities and colleges. So it's not just state departments or anything like that, but anybody that receives any state money, which is a lot of entities, including colleges. C, the staff from the committee are authorized to enter any building that is owned or leased by a state or non-state entity without a warrant, without a judicial warrant. Any building or any facility without a warrant, any entity that receives any state money, including any university or charity. And that includes private homes. Includes private homes. If the home has a, quote, home office of a contractor or recipient of state funds. Next. Public employees who are under investigation are required to keep all communications and requests for documents or testimony confidential. They cannot alert their supervisors nor consult with legal counsel. Next, those who refuse to cooperate, who breach any of what I just described, get jail time and up to a $1,000 fine. This government is a Republican government. It passes and it pursues partisan investigations. It is co-chaired by the Republican leader of the Senate, a guy named Phil Berger, and the Republican Speaker of the House, Tim Moore. In other words, the two highest ranking people in each chamber. This year, they've already launched an inquiry into diversity training programs at the University of North Carolina. The University of North Carolina is a fine university with a very, very good reputation for independent scholarship. Now, you can say, well, this is unconstitutional. Yes, yes, it is unconstitutional to say that somebody can't get consult legal counsel if they're subject to investigation by this committee is clearly unconstitutional. The Sixth Amendment. To say that they can go into a home or any building or office of anybody that gets state money, which is all universities and many, many other entities, or anybody that does business with the state, is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But what do you think the six tarantulas will say about that? They're bribed. You see what I'm saying? This depends on a federal judiciary rising up and doing the right thing. And I am concerned two things, and then I'll go to the lines, that they will not rise up and do the good thing. Number two, that this will spread. And that if this passes in North Carolina, which it looks like it will, that ALEC will spread it around the country. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, you're first. What's your mind, Bill?
Just when your listeners think that the best candidate the Republicans can produce has 91 felonies, 24 sexual assault charges, and 11 bankruptcies, that's their best. Rick Santorum, I don't know if you heard this, came out on Fox and said, democracy does not work for Republicans.
Well, yeah, I don't know why I'm laughing, because it's sad and true and obvious. These are everything I've described today, the secret police force that's being created in North Carolina, the Ohio legislature overruling unconstitutionally a constitutional amendment that was passed 5743, the Arizona fake electors who said that direct democracy is not a good form of government. Who asked them? George Washington thought it was. Thomas Jefferson thought that it was. James Madison thought that it was. I think it is. Everybody in this country in our Constitution thinks it is. And yet this is what we get. This is what we get. So my advice is this. When we're talking about these subjects, a lot of them seem far away. You go, okay, well, I don't really like Voss and I don't like Scott Walker and all that, but this could, to this degree, could never come to Wisconsin. Yes, it can come to Wisconsin. Act 10 came to Wisconsin. Right to Work came to Wisconsin. A lot of things have come to Wisconsin. Ron Johnson got reelected in the face of all evidence because of the campaign that he ran, racially tinged campaign. It can come to Wisconsin. If the state of North Carolina, through the Republican gerrymandered legislature, can make this pass and stick, and the federal judiciary doesn't rule it unconstitutional, you can bet it'll come here. You can absolutely bet it will come here. And like in Ohio, if there is a constitutional amendment in this state that's needed to correct a real abuse of power, and their legislature is successful in overturning it and then thumbing their nose at their Supreme Court, going ahead anyway, like they did with the gerrymandered maps, they were told not to use them, and they now use them for, it's coming up on the second election. If they say to local DAs, go ahead and prosecute any doctor who in the course of, as an OBGYN, whatever care he thinks he needs to save a woman's life or protect her health, and the doctor may get acquitted, but he'll spend $100,000 on legal fees, insurance isn't going to cover it, and he or she does not want to practice that way. And you can say, hey, wait a minute. We passed a constitutional amendment. They'll laugh. They'll laugh. And that is what is happening. Well, you got to have a chuckle at something, at a few things. And here is another little juicy tidbit that's really kind of unbelievable, especially in light of the next subject we're going to be talking about. But Mike Johnson, now Mike Johnson, you know Mike Johnson, the mayor of no fingerprints, mayor of no financial fingerprints, has no checking account, no savings account, doesn't know where his money comes from. He's speaker, he makes 252 grand a year as speaker, but well, where does it get deposited? I don't know. What, a guy in a raincoat and a fedora shows up at 4:59 p.m. at the controller's office and says, you know, put the money in this paper bag? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't believe, by the way, the guy does not have an account, just so we're clear. But he doesn't disclose it. He claims he doesn't have it. Okay. As weird and bad as he is, and you're going to really not like one of our upcoming anecdotes about him, he did do one thing just now that I think is terrific. It's very smart from a Republican point of view and totally unexpected. And what is that? Mike Johnson has just said that there is not enough evidence to pursue the impeachment of Joe Biden. Yes, Mike Johnson said that. Matt Gaetz isn't going to like that. Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't going to like that. James Comer isn't going to like that. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan isn't going to like that. I think he's betting on two things. One is, anybody in his right mind knows that if the Republican Party now votes to impeach Joe Biden, they're toast in the 2024 elections. And number two, there is not sufficient evidence or any evidence to impeach Joe Biden. So he's doing it to benefit the Republican Party. And number three, he's betting on that this Congress will not dare to throw him out the way they threw out McCarthy and declare the seat vacant. They never changed the rule. Any member of Congress can declare the seat vacant. Hakeem Jeffries could say, I declare the seat vacant. Problem with that is, if Hakeem Jeffries did that, there'd be another vote, and it would be unanimous for Mike Johnson again, and it would just slow things down. But he is betting that Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Paul Gosar, I'm running out of sociopaths to talk about, Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, won't dare to do it. Because this time, probably 217 Republicans would stand up for him, even though they didn't like it. So you have the Speaker of the House, two away from the presidency, now saying publicly, there is not enough evidence to pursue an impeachment of Joe Biden. And we'll see how much he reins in James Comer and his committee. But that is a powerful statement. And for whatever motive it was made, I don't care the motive that was made, he made it, and he's going to live with it. And his party is going to live with it. Okay, coming up, Tucker Carlson is vice president. You think I'm kidding? Coming up.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Metflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You think I was kidding about Tucker Carlson? I'm not kidding. I don't think he'll ever be vice president, but not because he hasn't been mentioned. Here's what happened. Last week, Donald Trump said, I would consider Tucker Carlson as my VP running mate. I would consider Tucker Carlson as my VP running mate. He said, quote, I like Tucker a lot. I would consider him because he's got good common sense. It cost Fox almost $800 million for his libels. He was fired even though he had high ratings. Why was he fired? Because he cost them $790 million or so? No. He was fired for insubordination because in several emails, he referred to his female boss, a woman who's the head of news for Fox, by the C word. That they won't tolerate, or should they tolerate? They threw him out. So he had lots of common sense, cost them $790 or so million, and got himself fired for very crude and disgusting insubordination. Add to that those emails that finally came out in that litigation. Remember what one of them said? Tucker Carlson said, quote, I hate Trump passionately. And Trump says, I would consider him because he has common sense. $799 million, fired for insubordination, and he hates Trump passionately. The truth of the matter is that this is all theater. It's all kabuki theater. Trump has no intention of making him vice president. Trump may get the nominee. He's not going to win the presidency, not against Joe Biden. And he's going to be desperate to find a vice president that can get him some votes. Tucker Carlson will lose him votes, and it ain't going to happen. But when you see this degree of mutually sucking up by Trump to Tucker Carlson to get favorable mentioned on whatever thing he's broadcasting now, even though he's on record as saying, because this document did come out, that he hates Trump passionately. And Trump, at the same time, knows Tucker Carlson racked up a $790 or so million dollar judgment for libel against his former employer and used very, very disgusting, crude words in emails to describe his own boss and gets fired. They will mutually suck up. Tucker Carlson hates him passionately, but he will praise Trump to try to worm into the Trump base. You know, there's so much hypocrisy in politics, but especially in the Republican Party. This is another disclosure that just came out. This blew me away, quite frankly. We just learned that Mike Johnson said there is not enough evidence to justify pursuing the impeachment of Joe Biden. We know that James Comer, this clown from Kentucky, who's the head of the committee that's pushing it, keeps saying, well, we don't have enough evidence now, but Joe Biden made a $200,000 loan to his brother. And so we find that suspicious and we want to get to the bottom of it. Well, guess what just came out? And this is really unbelievable, but it's not a coincidence. It turns out that James Comer made a $200,000 loan to his brother using a shell corporation in a land swap in Kentucky that he probably thought he could get away with for tax purposes. It's even the same amount, Clown Comer. You've had your speaker tell you there's not enough evidence to pursue an impeachment against Joe Biden. You are going after Joe Biden and attacking him for daring to lend his brother $200,000. And secretly, you lent your own brother the same amount in a land swap in Kentucky using a shell corporation. Now, let me give you a little advice. You're not going to get it from Mike Johnson because he doesn't have a bank account. So what does he know about money? He doesn't know anything about money. Claims he doesn't have any money. Quite literally. Claims he only has a $600,000 house in Louisiana. That's what Zillow values it at. Apparently doesn't remember how he got the mortgage because he has a mortgage on it. Apparently doesn't remember how he makes his mortgage payments, what, in cash? He sends a guy in a raincoat in on Friday afternoon with a bag of cash. I mean, so you're not going to get advice from him, but why don't you take a little advice from me? If you want to lend your brother 200 grand, Comer, write him a check for 200 grand. That's it. That's all you got to do. All you got to do. Why do you need a shell corporation to do it? What do you think is a land swap in Kentucky? A land swap in Kentucky is the posse rides up with shotguns and steals your land. That's a land swap in Kentucky. Look, the deal is this. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. If you are disguising your loan to your brother in a shell corporation, and there is a concept in tax law called form and substance. You can have the forms of whatever you want, shell corporations, this, it gets pierced to the substance. So I have no idea what was going on. But one thing you might not do is accuse another guy, especially the president of the United States, just outright lending his brother 200 grand. There's a very famous saying in Spanish, do not mention the rope in the house of the hangman. Do not mention the rope in the house of the hangman. Comer, do not mention $200,000 loans to Biden's brother when you have a $200,000 loan for a shell corporation to your own brother. All you're going to do is get a lot of curiosity about why you use a shell corporation to lend that amount of money to your own relative. What kind of tax advantage do you think you're getting out of that? Not much, because there's a form and substance dichotomy there. You can think you are quite sly about form, but the substance of it smells. Why a shell corporation? Why do you put up a corporation? Did you disclose who the directors were? Or did you disclose who the owners were? Or if it's an LLC, if you have those in Kentucky, did you disclose who the members are? And the answer is, I doubt it. I doubt very, very seriously. This is your clumsy way of trying to leave no fingerprints. Take a lesson from Mike Johnson. He really knows how to leave no fingerprints, apparently. Apparently he knows. Okay, coming up, news, weather, and what is that flag flying outside the office of Mike Johnson?
My baby don't care.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the civic media.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Diversity offices at the universities of Wisconsin remain a sticking point in talks on UW system funding. The UW system announced $32 million in new spending Republicans are demanding for key degree programs last week. System President Jay Rothman.
This is a critical juncture. Are we going to invest in our universities? Are we going to invest in the greatest talent magnet the state has and talent developer that the state has, or are we not?
That's Rothman on Capital City Sunday on Channel 27 in Madison. Wisconsin's gun deer season starts Saturday. Wildlife officials remind hunters it's illegal to shoot from an all-terrain vehicle, even if it's parked. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says guns and bows on ATVs have to be unloaded. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. There's about 90 Milwaukee seniors without a place to live after a fire at their high-rise last night. A 76-year-old woman was hospitalized after the top four floors of the 14-story building was impacted. It happened at the Cambridge Apartments near Cambridge in Oakland. The Red Cross is assisting those needing help. Milwaukee fire crews are still investigating the cause of that fire. The Bucks have joined the Brewers in getting more green. The team, in collaboration with Racine-based SC Johnson, says they've successfully upcycled over 20 tons of clear plastic bottles and cups during their most recent season. A similar program has been going on at the Brewers ballpark. As part of the program, special scrubbing bubbles bottles made from the recycled Bucks cups and bottles are now available for purchase at 12 Wisconsin Meyer stores. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Wattles, WAUK News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Packers lose on the last play of the game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost to the Steelers 23-19 in Pittsburgh. The game was back and forth and came down to the final 3 seconds. Green Bay on the Pittsburgh 16, and instead of a touchdown, the ball intercepted by the Steelers. Jordan Love.
Last play of the game, trying to take a shot to the end zone. Dialed up a play that we, you know, work all the time in practice. Pretty much just trying to get a shot right there in the front in line to Christian. The DB was able to jump in front of the route and make a pick.
The Packers now 3-6. They host the Chargers on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks are back at home tonight. They host the Chicago Bulls. Milwaukee losing to the Magic in Orlando 112-97. That snapped a 14-game winning streak the Bucks had over the Magic. Milwaukee now 5-4 for the year. College football, offense, defense, special teams, nothing seems to be working for the Wisconsin Badgers after losing at home 24-10 to Northwestern. Luke Fickle.
There's not a single complimentary thing right now that we're doing I don't think we've done in the last couple weeks.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 30 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 58. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 41. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Metfin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, what is that flag mounted outside of Speaker Mike Johnson's office? What is that flag? It turns out that he flies the flag, and this is right in the Capitol, outside of his office. He's the speaker. Nothing goes on the floor without his permission. He's two heartbeats away from the presidency. And outside of his office in the Capitol, he flies the flag of the New Apostolic Reformation Network. The New Apostolic Reformation Network, which is described as a network that wants to place the United States government under religious control. It turns out that some of the January 6 rioters carried that flag into the Capitol with them. Now, we in our First Amendment, we have separation of church and state. It's actually phrased as there will be no established religion, but that means separation of church and state. It is the most profound insight in political philosophy in human history. And it's one reason why we, and then by extension all of Western civilization, which has copied us, have been spared the eternal warfare and bloodshed in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. And it's led to many other freedoms, all set out in our Constitution. Freedom from speech, freedom from searches without warrants, and so forth. Now, here is the deal. Johnson also has called for a constitutional convention to rewrite the entire Constitution. There is a provision right at the end, one of the articles, that says, and this was put in by especially the slaveholding states. They demanded it because, listen, in 1788, when George Washington was elected president, nobody could be sure how this would work out. Maybe it was too weird. Maybe instead of 13 colonies combining into a country, they should just be 13 countries. Then no one knew. Put yourself back in 1788. So they had one little catch-all at the end, said, by the way, if this doesn't work out, and they didn't have to say that, they just said at any time, a certain number of states can call for a constitutional convention. Two-thirds of the states. Now, right now, under Scott Walker, he notified, certainly without my permission, he notified the authorities that Wisconsin is one of the states. And right now, there's only a few more states needed to call this thing. And what would it look like? It would meet somewhere to resort, probably Mar-a-Lago, Trump's president, probably Vegas, who knows? And you go through the whole Constitution with every clown and lobbyist in the country and amend things and get rid of things and add things. We can't have that. Constitution is sacred, and our Constitution is our Constitution. And let me tell you something quick before I go to the lines. I see you do not hang up. And I'll say this from the bottom of my heart. If there ever comes a time where we lose the whole Constitution, but keep the First Amendment, the rest of the Constitution will grow back in a generation. With freedom of speech, separation of church and state, no established religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of information, free press, freedom of the press, freedom of protest, it'll grow back. But if an evil day ever comes where we lose the First Amendment, but keep the rest of the Constitution, the rest of the Constitution will wither and die in a generation. Go to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
I feel like this story from South Carolina where this legislative joint finance committee has assigned itself all sorts of powers that are just flabbergasting to me. I want to go through this again, Matt, if you don't mind. It just has sparked so many questions. First off, they say they're wanting to oversee how money is spent. So any entity that receives government money, they want to oversee how it's spent. I worked for a government agency, and what I was familiar with were audits. the auditors would come in and look over the books. And I'm assuming if there were problems with the books, there weren't when I was there, they would highlight the appropriate, call the appropriate officials, whether that be just people in management or whether that if there were truly malfeasance, you know, they would throw it at the police and start looking at a getting a judgment from a judge to do a search warrant and do more activity. How on earth can they go away from the idea if you want to oversee how money is spent and you are having a legislative committee turned into, I mean, they're wearing little hats and what do we give them, guns next so they can do the searches themselves? I mean, the number of people or entities that are affected by getting government money is gigantic. Wouldn't it be most schools in the state of Wisconsin if we did that here? Wouldn't it be subcontractors of a contractor who gets government money? And they were talking about the fact, well, how many hospitals get government money? So they could start digging around in hospital records without a search warrant, without any kind of oversight of their activities at all. I don't understand how this can go forward and not raise a gigantic ruckus because I think of the number of people who would be affected by this. And it states that this Legislative Joint Finance Committee government operation dealy, this little pseudo police force, can go into public places, but also your home. What? I mean, my jaw drops when I think about this. How? Why would they need to have this amount of power? Why? What is wrong with the current ways in which they are doing things so that they can't detect malfeasance or misappropriations of funds currently as it exists? Can you tell me why they feel they need to make this jump to a little police force?
Yeah, that's an excellent call, Joe. Let me just go over it in some detail, because it's extremely important. First of all, by the way, it's North Carolina, not South Carolina, but in North Carolina, in this 600 plus page budget, what they are doing is exactly what you're saying. They're using the hook of any federal, or I should say any state funds. The state funds go everywhere. They go to public school, every public school. They go to every private school under the voucher system. They just do. Most of these private schools, there are very few that don't get any money from the state. Every hospital, every contractor who does work, you know, is a vendor. Everybody, every manufacturer, everybody else, provider of services, cleaning office buildings, wants to contract with the government. They define the objects of this legislation as anybody under any circumstances getting any state money, no matter how little. And that's virtually everything in the state. That's number one. Number two, this is set up where the Republican head of the Senate and the Republican head of the Assembly, gerrymandered, are both the co-chairs. Number three, its purpose is thinly disguised. They just are launching investigations about things they don't like. It has nothing to do with money. They're investigating any kind of DEI and exclusivity stuff, any training on multiculturalism. That's what they're doing. They're not going to go after anybody who's a businessman or a Republican. In fact, there's more fraud in these kinds of states than there is in Wisconsin. You're absolutely right that what they could easily do, and they do, they all do it, will be to audit. You go in, you get a forensic auditor, if they're suspicious, refer it to the DA, refer it to the courts. But here they can go into any facility or any room of any entity who takes money from the government, including if it has a quote home office and quote into the home, without a warrant. And the target is forbidden to get legal counsel or even to tell a lawyer or to tell their supervisor. Now, I can't begin to tell you how unconstitutional this is. The Fourth Amendment does not permit them to do this. The Fourth Amendment was extended to the states in the 14th Amendment after the Civil War. Believe it or not, up until the Civil War, the Bill of Rights, the First, Second, and Third Amendment didn't apply to the states. There were states early on who had an established religion. Virginia, you had to pay dues to the religion that they designated. I'm not kidding. That gradually wore off. And then ultimately, right after the Civil War, they passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. the 14th Amendment has been construed as extending the Bill of Rights to the states. So the states are bound by it too. Now, there is no exception in the Fourth Amendment to the warrant requirement that it's somehow waived if the state pays money to you. It's absurd. There is no, in the Bill of Rights, there is absolutely no exemption on your right to counsel or to consult a lawyer just because you are paid some money by the state in your business or because you work for an entity, even if you didn't get it yourself. This is so overreaching. And to say that they can't even notify their supervisors, this is something that kind of reminds me, frankly, of the way Stalin ran Russia in the 40s. They would encourage kids to snoop on their parents. And then kid would then turn their parents in. If they were late at night, he'd sneak out of the bedroom and listen. And he turned them in. And then Stalin would send the parents to the gulag. And the kid would be touted on radio. And they'd say, here we have little Yevgeny Ivanovich, who turned his parents in because they were speaking against the leader. And he will get a good scholarship to the secondary school. This is sick. This is very sick. We have it a little bit in Texas with the snitch bounty. You see your neighbor's car leave the driveway at 6 a.m. Seems early and you know she's pregnant. You turn her in, you get 10 grand if she's going to an abortion clinic. This is a sickness in the Republican Party. This is not just conservatism. This is the antithesis of conservatism. Go to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mark, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, what's fascinating to me is with you just mentioned Mike Johnson having that Christian flag flying in front of him. You know, it's outside his office, and the complete lack of understanding that he has of the Constitution, a document that he took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States. That it's ironic that considering that Baptists were one of the groups that were persecuted prior to the Revolution and was protected by the First Amendment, you know, the separation of church and state. In fact, from some of the reading I've done, is that the Baptists were some of the ones who were most excited about the separation of church and state, that because they recognized the fact that they had been persecuted. And if I remember my history right, Thomas More, Henry VIII's minister, one of his ministers of state was, happily persecuting and executing, nonconformists, people that weren't at that point in time in compliance with the Catholic Church. I mean,
let me just break in because we're coming to the end of the segment. No, excellent call as always. But I'm not saying this is a Baptist flag at all. I have great respect for all denominations. I have absolutely no preference and nothing to say about any of them. Everybody's faith journey is his own business. This is a flag that was carried into the Capitol. It's not any kind of normal religious flag. It's not a Christian flag in the normal sense. What this is a flag to basically overturn the Constitution. And I think, your study of history is important, and I appreciate it. But this goes beyond that. I mean, this goes beyond that. Everybody in the United States of every denomination, all of which I respect equally, believes in the separation of church and state. And that is being absolutely abrogated by having the speaker fly this thing out in the hallway when it had been carried into the Capitol on January 6th. What's coming up is the crisis of anti-Semitism on our college campuses is raging, and it's got to be stopped.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos. That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That, not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret, every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
The Shaw, WAUKK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the white-hot rage of anti-Semitism on our college campuses, it continues to rage. Here's some latest developments. Down in Louisiana, Tulane University, there's a protest by people who oppose Israel. And one of the protesters punched a Jewish student down there in the nose and broke his nose. In New York City, there was a anti-Israel protest, and one of the protesters shinnied up a pole and tore down American flags on the pole. Only the American flags, not the other flags. Now, this cannot be permitted to continue. In the one around Tulane, another Jewish kid was beaten on the head with a pole. In MIT, there was violence. And by the way, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology is probably the most prestigious science-oriented school in the country. That and Caltech, but MIT, I think, is the most prestigious. It has 30% foreign students. It has 6% Jewish students. The Jewish students are being attacked physically. So the administration promised that anybody who did that would be expelled. Then they realized that that would mean that their student visas would be yanked, so they didn't expel them. They slapped them on the wrist. This has got to stop. I think a couple of things have to be clear. Anti-Semitism is racism. Nazi anti-Semitism was racism. We would not tolerate on college campuses organized groups harassing and isolating Jewish students. It's as simple as that. At Cooper Union, which is a fine college in New York, Jewish kids were in a library, had to lock the doors. People were beating on the doors, threatening to get them. You can't have a university, a free discussion and study with people worrying about their personal safety. In LA, an elderly man, a Jewish man, 69 years old, was hit in the face with some sort of megaphone, fell down, hit his head and died. These are physical attacks, physical isolations. Shouting, carrying of swastikas. And we simply can't have it. We've seen these kinds of incidents at Harvard, Yale, Cornell, Columbia, City University of New York, used to be called CCNY, City College of New York, which is one of the great universities, free tuition, some of the best scientific and literary minds we've had went through those institutions. Now it's happening in Tulane. And there's a couple of things that have to be done. The administrators that are tolerating this have to be fired. The president of Harvard, president of Columbia, president of Cornell, president of the University of Pennsylvania, throw them out. They're no good. In some cases, there are faculty members who are in on it. In Oberlin, there's a faculty member who used to be an ambassador for Iran, and he has posted things about Israel, about its destruction. Then when he is asked about it, he says, oh, I meant no violence and two-state solution, and grinned. Get rid of him. Why is he even in this country? The visas of students that do this, that are part of this Nazi-style harassment, have got to be yanked, and they've got to be excluded from the country. And any future visas that are extended, there has to be clear from the beginning that these are not people who are going to be part of this racism. You know, Harvard, there was a kid, I don't know, it's been a few years, it's probably been 6-7 years ago. One of the things when people are going to extend a visa, they will occasionally look at the social media context of the individual. And this kid had been watching ISIS videos and was all hung up on ISIS. So our government denied the visa. Harvard went to court and successfully got a judge to say he had to grant him the visa because Harvard said, well, you know, once he comes to Harvard and he's treated with a lot of prestige and respect, he'll probably change his mind. Well, no, he won't change his mind. You remember the Tsarnaev brothers who blew up the Boston Marathon? Dr. Tsarnaev, the guy that's now in jail for life, had been sentenced to death, was sent by taxpayers to Boston Latin School. That's one of the best high schools in the country. Most people give their right arm to get into Boston Latin. Then he was admitted to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, a top-notch college. And with all of that, was there gratitude? No, there wasn't gratitude. He and his brother decided to blow up the Boston Marathon. I think that there's been too much pussyfooting around on this issue, and I think that it has to be said by both parties, Democratic and Republican, and not their fringes, because on the deep fringe of each, there's a layer of anti-Semitism. We're not going to tolerate racism of any sort against anybody in any of our universities, anything. The people who traffic in that, people who harass, demean, shout. At Cornell, there was one woman who testified, and at Brown, the one at Cornell, that she was in a library and two guys came up to her, a minister, two men. She was kind of a tiny gal, yelling at her. Their student visas should be rescinded. There shouldn't be any discussion about it. Our universities have to be recaptured for scholarship and fair treatment for everybody. No racism extended in anybody's direction. Well, a lot of other developments today, we didn't get to them. We had a great show. Don Trump Jr. testified today while I was on the air, so I don't know everything he did, but apparently today, last time he said, what do I know? Yeah, I'm a trustee. I was supposed to certify the accounting methods. I just signed because I said the accountants would certify them. And they go, you're supposed to certify them independently of that. I didn't know that. Another accountant. This time around, he goes through property by property trying to explain how valuable they really are. Absolute clown. Trump Organization has to be barred from doing business in New York and pay damages. Coming to the end of the show, great callers as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute, Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.